You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wednesday, the 9th day of October of 2024, 27 days until Election Day. Currently in downtown Wausau, again, as we've said, day after day after day, lots of sunshine, lots of blue skies. Temperature stands at 35 degrees. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Wednesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO, online at BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up here on the program in the second hour of the show, we'll be talking about what's happening at the Grand Theater in Wausau. Won't be Sean Wright today. I was hoping it'd be Sean because 2 days ago it was his birthday. We're going to say happy birthday, Sean Wright, but Sean is not in town today. So it's going to be Anya Hannington of the Grand Theater. She'll be able to let us know what's happening. That's coming up in the second hour. And then also Trisha Zunker will be joining us to talk about this weekend's Central Wisconsin Indigenous Peoples Day celebration and more. But here in hour number one, very happy to welcome back in, as he does every other Wednesday, the man who is the voice of Wisconsin Badger hockey over at the Kohl Center on the PA side, of course. Yeah. We're not going to
don't want to get in their territory.
But welcome back, Bob Luck.
Good morning, everybody. Well, at least we keep the birthday cake for our own enjoyment.
There you go.
Since he can't be here himself.
I know. And we had the girls ready to pop out and everything. It was just going to be something fantastic.
I was just talking to them. Yeah, Tina and Fritzy, I think, was their names, I guess.
Oh, and real quickly, we need to say hello to Ian Welsh again. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
In studio engineer, morning, and producer.
Hey, Ian, how come you're not in Hollywood yet?
Oh, I'm working on it. Okay. It'll take a little bit of time.
I thought after that successful run there, I thought that the offers would be flying in.
Well, he's right back at it a week from Friday.
He's committed already.
He's part of the big Night at the Cabaret fundraiser for the Wausau Community Theater, which we'll talk about later on. But he's got to have his own. They have a bunch of talented folks along with dinner.
Obviously,
the dinner second. Ian Welsh performing is
number
one.
That's right. That's worth the price of admission there. They give you food, too?
Exactly.
Absolutely. There's food, a silent auction, a raffle. There's a whole lot happening at this event.
Well, that's a good organization to help out, too.
But plenty to talk about. I tell you, we're going to talk later in the program. I'm not going to say that you are incorrect, but you were incorrect 2 weeks ago. The Brewers are done. Brewer TV news yesterday, but hockey getting underway, so lots to talk about with the fun aspect of our conversations every week. But, boy, there's a lot of other stuff that's going on,
too. Yeah, I guess we got to dive into the
I got to talk real locally here, because last night there was a Wausau City Council meeting. There was also, as we talked about on the program yesterday, there was another rally, protesters over at City Hall in the run-up to the City Council meeting at 5:30 yesterday afternoon. We were talking yesterday about this with the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Mm-hmm. But the idea was, again, that their folks are saying that Mayor Denny stepped outside his lane, which he had complained about for the previous mayor during the campaign, that she was saying things about in areas that he thought she should not have been talking about, but he actually crossed the line in moving this Dropbox. But then at the meeting, he wanted to, again, discuss it and talk about, you know, the Dropbox and the lack of security and all that in terms of the Dropbox. And, again, it was not his decision to be made. It was the city clerk. And in the end, the council was not going to go in that direction. And now he's claiming corruption and all sorts of other things. We're 27 days away from the election. Mm-hmm. My theory is, and you can ask, disagree if you think that I'm off base, but at this point, we need to be able to allow the folks out there the best and the most secure and the easiest opportunities to make sure that their votes are counted, that they have the ability to vote, not to be having this discussion right now. I mean, this was something that, frankly, you know, should have been either done earlier during the summertime when this ruling came down from the Wisconsin Supreme Court, or let's make sure that this Dropbox is available for the residents of Wausau. And then after the election, if the mayor finds that there was something that was could be done better, then we have this discussion. But right now, it just comes across as a lot of political grandstanding for me. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, there's two questions I would pose to the mayor. Number one, why are you wanting to make it harder for the citizens that you serve? Remember, you serve at their, you know, they elected you. They can also not elect you. Why are you making it tougher for them to do what they can't? Because people don't run the same schedule. See, we don't get up at 6:30 and go to work at 7 and then come back at 3. No, everyone's lives are different. People work on different shifts, different multiple jobs. And there's all sorts of things that get in the way of just doing what you were supposed to do in a democracy, and that's to get to vote. And then they said, well, it's not secure. Okay, give me, you know, as many incidences in that where it's proven that those boxes are not secure, that there is some great overuse, there's an abuse of something of that nature, because there's so many fail-safe things that make sure it's not going to go that route. And it's been done not just here, but all the states that have, you know, that set up. And pretty much there's just, and if there is some little problems, it's so small, it's not even, like, you know, important to go mess with, because it's easily rectified.
And Dropboxes are not a recent phenomenon. They were, yes, there. I mean, yeah, until Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans came in and started their planting of seeds that there's something wrong here. In fact, the Speaker of the House recently said, well, we have no proof that there's been any issues when it comes to voting and early voting or anything like that, but I just know there's something wrong. he can just feel it, that there's something wrong.
That's like going to a patient in the hospital, says, we're going to give you chemotherapy. He says, oh, I have cancer? No, you don't have cancer, but we just want to do that because we think that's the right thing to do.
No. What he's going to say is, I just feel that. Nothing that we see in your in the x-rays or in our yeah, examination.
But let's do it anyway, just to make sure.
I just know that you have cancer. I just know. I don't see, there's no evidence of it, but I just know it. And frankly, I think you kind of hit it on the head as well with the mayor. He had said after the initial controversy with the city clerk that basically he said, I don't work for her. And he is coming across right now as thinking that he is the guy that is completely in charge. You hit it on the head.
Omnipotent.
He works for the people of the city of Wausau.
Correct.
It's not where he is in charge of everything. And in fact, when he's been on this show, he had said, well, the mayor can't do everything. But all of a sudden, he's acting like he thinks the mayor can basically do what he wants to do because he feels like somehow the security is not where it should be, according to what he thinks.
Isn't it amazing how individuals who may come off as being level-headed, common-sense type individuals, and you think, hey, this person is going to be pretty, if they get something where they perceive it to be more influence, more power, more, you know, more than what they forget how they got where they're at. There were people circling that ballot to their name. And the voters do pay attention, believe it or not, because if somebody starts feeling a little, you know, too big on themselves, thinking that they're beyond reproach, they're beyond any question, it's amazing how the public sometimes comes right back and slaps you back down.
It's actually interesting. The last time that the mayor came on this program a couple of months ago.
Again, I have nothing against the mayor.
No, but the thing about it was I had asked him that, oh, it feels like there's a little bit of friction right now between you and the council president and other members of the council. And he kind of went around, but basically implied, yes, I can only imagine right now what the friction is, because this was before all of this. And right now, you, in order to be a successful chief executive, you have to be able to work with...
That's what democracy is
exactly.
all about.
Exactly. I mean, as much as Donald Trump wants to change that, that's still the way it is. I mean, you can't decide...
Well, he wants to get rid of democracy.
Exactly.
Basically.
I mean, he wants to be able to take away that petty problem of actually having the Congress be on his side. He wants to be able to do it all himself. And unfortunately, that seeping into the bloodstream of the Republicans seems to be continuing.
It's like being on your debate team in high school or in college, and you're going up against... debate opponents, and they don't have a chance to rebut.
That's all right.
I'm the final word. That's the way it is. And they automatically win the debate. That doesn't work that way in democracies.
But again, I just find that I don't know what the ultimate... Again, maybe I'm being naive about this. Maybe there is something bigger about it. But again, we're less than 4 weeks away from this election. And right now, the rules have been set. Let's do everything possible to try to make this as secure and fair. And they always are. But this chipping away at the faith in our systems. Because this is one example. There was, again, I don't know, you may not want to hear it, but... the guy down the street had implied that if the Marathon County District Attorney's Office had looked into the mayor's actions, well, that doesn't count because there's a bunch of liberals on the Marathon County District Attorney's Office, and he put it in a commentary. I mean, the constant chipping away at the trust in so many different areas of our democracy is so concerning, and they don't seem to care about that. And
it's my way or the highway. Have a nice trip.
Yeah, the idea. Well, if somebody investigates, well, it's obviously because it's a political move. That's all we hear now. We don't have to break the rules.
Wow. And isn't it about the people that do the harping about things being political are the ones who are making it political?
Yes, that is so true. All right, we're gonna go away
so
for 2 minutes.
Truth.
Then we're gonna come back, hear about the weather with Brittany Merlot. Obviously, some. Very big weather news in the southeast part of the country. It's hard to believe 2 weeks in a row going through this. We'll have Brittany coming with us in just a few seconds, and then more with Bob Look as well here on 98.9 WXCO. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:22, 35 degrees under mostly sunny skies as we begin our hump day Wednesday, another beautiful start here in central Wisconsin. And to talk about the weather, of course, the weather very calm around here. It's been this way for weeks now, but boy, so much weather news going on in the southeast part of this country. For the second straight week, we're joined by our meteorologist Brittany Merlot. And Brittany, good morning.
Oh, good morning. How are you doing?
Doing very well. But good. Again, the big weather news is out of the southeast part of the country. back-to-back major hurricanes, and not, I mean, just massive, massive. Still working on the damage from last week, and now another major, major storm. What's going on right now down there? Is it continuing to? Is there any hope that maybe it's going to be better than what we've been hearing about, expecting?
Well, here's the thing. You know, it's forecasted to weaken today, right? The category is supposed to drop. It's supposed to weaken. It's supposed to spread out. So that's going to spread the wind fields out. It's going to lessen the winds just a little bit. But like you mentioned, they're still cleaning up. I know that there's still debris on the shores of some places that are going to get whacked with these hurricane force winds. So that is flying missiles now that, you know, really needs to be pulled from structures usually before they start to fly around. Well, now they're already just there. So that's a big concern, not to mention that they've already had the recent rain from Helene as well. Plus, there's sandy soil. So when that's, think about it, it's a block when it gets saturated. So where's that water going to go? It's going to keep rising. So it's not only where, how strong is the eye? Because categories are just winds. That's all they're looking at is the wind for the category. This surge is not going to stop. It has been a beast the entire time it's been in the Atlantic, right? It's setting records, the fifth strongest out there. It's rapidly intensifying, you know, going through these cycles that we've just never seen before. That is going to push the ocean onto shore. 10 to 15 feet of surge, whether it be from Tampa Bay into Sarasota or even Fort Myers area. Fort Myers is just cleaning up from Ian 2 years ago. That was a Category 4 hurricane. So they've got a lot to worry about. Not to mention, oh my gosh, they've got tornado risks. One of the highest risks that we've seen associated with hurricanes. They're an enhanced risk. That's long-lived major tornadoes as well. So that's moving in today. The heavy rain, the winds this afternoon, the hurricane force eye and strongest winds and biggest surge, of course, this evening. And then it whips into Orlando. Is still a hurricane, so they're going to see some strong winds and heavy rain there, and it just moves off pretty quickly. So that's the good news, is that it leaves quickly. But the path of this storm has just been unique. All of it has been. It's going to be devastation out there, and I'm just so sad to have two back-to-back. Those waters are so warm, and we're in a transition. We're not in technically El Nino. We're not technically in La Nina. We're transitioning. And those waters are so warm for this thing to just, it's high octane fuel for it, basically. So well, the good news is the wind shear and the drier air into the Northern Gulf will lessen it, but that surge, that rain, that flooding, those winds, it's still going to be bad.
Yeah, I mean, just heartbreaking in so many different ways. Here in central Wisconsin, we've been talking about the fact that we've been just, I mean, the weather's been just amazing for a number of weeks now, but we're getting close to actually getting a dose of fall. Enjoy, if you like the weather in the 70s, enjoy it, because it's going to change here in a few days, isn't it?
Yes. So we've got this nice little warm up because of actually Milton. It's moving the jet stream. We're getting a little warmth here. So we'll climb to the 70s by tomorrow, mid 70s on Friday, but then we drop. And I mean low 50s for Sunday. And Sunday night actually triggers something very interesting. Those winds are going to be gusting out of the north over Lake Superior. The temperature difference from the air to the water is going to be so extreme, and it's going to be so cold at night that we could see some snow produced off of Lake Superior. This could be Sunday night, Monday night, and maybe into Tuesday afternoon mixed in there. So that'll be interesting.
We still need rain. Are we going to get rain? I mean, we can hear.
We are. Thankfully, we are looking at Saturday night into Sunday morning. That cold front moves in, so we do have some rain chances. About a tenth of an inch still right now, potentially up to a quarter of an inch. Not sure how much damage that's going to do or a dent into our drought conditions, but we'll take it.
All right. Well, what are the details here for this hump day Wednesday as we get closer and closer to the weekend?
High pressure holds. Happy high pressure. Everybody should be smiling with the sunshine. 65 degrees today, calm winds. Tomorrow we'll hit 71 under abundant sunshine. It'll get a little breezy on Friday. We get warm into those mid-70s. A few more clouds start to build in. And then the cold front, right? So Saturday's highs into the low 60s. partly cloudy. The cold front moves through, bringing some scattered showers. And then as that sweeps by, we'll still see some clouds lingering on occasion and highs in the low 50s on Sunday. It'll still be breezy, too, so blustery, chilly.
So some real football weather for those folks who have tickets to Lambeau Field on Sunday.
Right. Yes.
For the first time,
the frozen tundra returns.
All right, Brittany, again, thanks for all the info. Have a great Wednesday. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Bye, Brittany.
Sounds good. Bye. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too.
Right now in Wausau, again, lots of sunshine, temperature of 35 degrees. The winds are calm. Dew point of 33, relative humidity of 93%, the barometer at 30.12 inches, and a visibility of 10 miles. Again, and the thing about these hurricanes, and you have Marjorie Taylor Greene saying we can control the weather. it's nuts.
It was simply a science fiction movie. We could.
Yeah, yeah.
Not but in reality. But it's not like the movie a storm where you have this big satellite that controls the weather.
Yeah, I wish it was that easy.
I know. I saw an interesting social media post Sunday night. It said, if we could really control the weather, there's no way there'd ever be a weather delay for Sunday night football because there's too much money involved in that.
Exactly.
Also, it wouldn't be as humid in Florida.
Exactly. So, again, for the folks in Southeast,
I really feel for them.
Exactly.
They're the only, there's not a bright spot, but at least that this particular storm is taking a more easterly direction. It's not going to go up that coastline.
Right.
But still, it's going to be hitting that floor, like basically cutting Florida in half.
The time is 8:29. We're going to come back. We have another half hour to go with Bob Look here. Also coming up, we'll talk to Anya Hannington from the Grand Theater, and Trisha Zunker will be joining us as well in the second hour. With Bob Look and Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on 98.9 WXCO, online at BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, you can also join us at Facebook.com. Go to the 98.9 WXCO page. You can add questions or comments. You can also call or text us. Again, best way is to download the Civic Media app, open up the 98.9 WXCO part of the app, and then hit the button to text, hit the button to call, hit the button to send an email, hit the button to go to our website. It's all there. Hit the button to listen wherever you may be. You can also call or text us at 715-382-9297. Again, that's 715-382-9297. You can hear the friendly voice of Ian Welsh if you call us. Mm-hmm. And also, if you send us a text, we will pass that along the information as well. Again, real quickly, coming up in the second hour, Anya Hannington from the Grand Theater, and also Trisha Zunker will be joining us as well. And a quick note that coming up on Tuesday, a couple of candidates will be with us. We'll talk to Yi Leng Zhang again, coming up at 8:35 on Tuesday morning. And we'll talk to Kyle Kilborn, the candidate for the 7th Congressional District, coming up as well at 9:35, coming up on Tuesday morning of next week. In fact, we're going to be talking to a number of different candidates next week as we get closer and closer to Election Day.
Yeah, I just wanted to pass on a little thing. A few days ago, I was at a place, you know, having lunch, and a guy comes up to me and he goes, "You're Bob Look, aren't you?" Yes. I said, "I listen to you when you're on with Chad. I found the station, and it's like I love listening to it." And I says, "Well, you know, thanks a lot. Spread the word.
Isn't that interesting when somebody comes up and says, "You're, you know, Bob Look," or somebody comes up to me and says, you know, the first thing is, uh-oh.
Do I owe money?
No, it's like, oh, is this gonna be good? Is this gonna be bad? Yeah. And it's wonderful when they do tune in.
Yeah, but it was. His name is Greg, and Greg, if you're listening, you know, thanks a lot. And he says he also listens to the playbacks, you know, the podcast.
Oh, nice,
so anyway,
nice.
That's
fantastic. It really
is. One of those nice things where it's nice, you know, knowing that there's folks out there who will tune in.
27 days away, and we're getting bombarded right now with a lot of commercials, and again, the campaign, it just continues. It just keeps on going. I mean, I don't know if the call would be a slog, but it's such a long campaign, and the campaign seemed to just continue. At this point, what if you had advice for some of the Democratic candidates who are out there, you know, pounding on doors and trying to reach the electorate. Anything that, you know, during your run a couple of years ago that, you know, stuck out that, well, maybe I could have done this a little better or that a little better, or something that you did that you say, oh, wow, that did get me some traction, maybe in an area I didn't expect. Well, anything that you learned that maybe you could pass along?
I learned every day. I mean, what was good, what was not so good. And the point is that my campaign, I didn't have a campaign manager. There wasn't somebody, you know, who with experience of running campaigns to kind of, you know, go this. I was just doing it from my experience working in broadcasting, and similarly, you know, when I was program director and operations manager for radio stations, that was very much like running an election. Because you're trying to get the most listeners. You're trying to do the things that are going to get you your best bang for the buck for your advertisers on your station. So a lot of that marketing kind of things that I did in the past for promoting giveaways, promoting shows on the stations that I was programming, that was the same thought process I used when doing any kind of reach out commercials and things. Because, first of all, it's expensive, folks, if you haven't noticed already. Because when you're kind of on your own doing these things, you try to do what you can with what you have. And so I just kind of took a different little, because of the state Senate District 29, what it used to be 2 years ago, where it goes all the way from Mosinee all the way up to Hayward, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. It's different now. But, you know, from my background doing high school sports, and I said, you know, I'm going to focus in some ads that are just talking to parents and that for high school football games. And so I ran ads on the high school football games up in Hayward, up in Ladysmith, Medford, you know, their station out there. And you were in the studio when we recorded it. I was just talking to the folks who, you know, talking about how high school sports is such a great gathering of the community. Everyone gets together to cheer for your favorite team, whether it's the players, the cheerleaders, the dance squad, the band, anything. It's all a community. Get behind it and support it. And I says, it's one of the great things about this country and great things about, you know, people working together. And I says, I hope that you know, good luck to the teams playing. And, you know, I hope you consider me for your state senator. And I had some people going, what are you doing that for? I said, because nobody else has. They come in there with this, my opponent is raising taxes by 20%. And it's like, no, let's celebrate the good stuff once
right.
in a while.
And that is, I swear, and again, I think one of the reasons why it feels like a slog is the negativity. I think we all want to be uplifted. We really do. Mm-hmm. I think there's so many people that want to be able to feel good about our country, about our state, about our communities. And when you just get pounded over, I mean, even here, I was driving in this morning and I heard another spot. Tammy Baldwin has been in Washington too long and blah, blah. And it just, and I'm thinking, that's not the Tammy Baldwin that we see all the time. It's just make believe. And it gets frustrating in it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't talk about our best angels and about what we can do to move forward. And unfortunately, you know, when you have the top of the ticket that is this constant negativity, it does seep down.
I always like to ask that question if they're using that excuse that it's been in Washington for too long. I says, well, gee, doesn't that particular individual, she started out as being a congressional representative and then went to U.S. Senate. She's up for elections. She seems to, you know, always, it's not like she's in a state that is so blue.
Right.
That it's an, think of years ago when Dave Obey was the congressman in this area, the Northwest Wisconsin. How many years was he in there?
69 to 2011.
Yeah.
So you know, 40 plus years.
And every 2 years, he had to go up for re-election, and it seemed that he was quite successful at it because it didn't make a darn bit of difference whether you were a Democrat or Republican. It was, is this guy, you know, really representing me in Washington? And how approachable was Dave Obey and his staff? That's the key as much as anything else. You know, as we're talking about other people who are doing good jobs as maintaining that contact with the electorate. Tommy Thompson, as a governor in the state of Wisconsin, he got together with Republicans and Democrats and cobbled things together, worked, you know, I wasn't sitting there saying he did everything right, and I'm not saying that, right. That even a Democratic, you know, representative like Dave Obey or that, you're going to agree 100% of the time.
Right.
The thing is, if you feel like your input is being accepted and it's being part of the decision-making process, and not walk in there and saying, I'm a conservative. Every Democratic idea is, as far as I'm concerned, is dead in the water.
Right.
That's not getting things done, folks.
And frankly, you bring up Tommy Thompson, and I actually wrote about him in a blog last week. I think that's what you just said is why I feel so disappointed in him. I just feel so disappointed that he's 82 years old. This may be the, you know, one of the final campaigns he has a big voice in, and he's using his voice for Donald Trump. I'm so disappointed, and I shouldn't be. I know I shouldn't be, but
it's
I am.
It's his choice, and I understand that. My thing is when I go driving along and you know, you see signs for this candidate, I ask myself this question. Would you want to put something on your front lawn or on your property that promotes someone who has been adjudicated rapist, as a convicted felon, compulsive liar, and fraud, and we can just go through the whole thing. And it's not like it's, oh, well, he got a bad rap, or the jury was out to get him, or this has been something that's gone from the 80s, even before that.
The 70s.
The 70s.
Him and his father. Yes, him and his father were convicted of racist housing practices.
Right, and wouldn't rent property to a person of
and
color.
Remember Reagan was known as the Teflon president. It feels like in a lot of ways, a lot of these folks just slides
well,
right off.
What I then ask is this: what does it say about that individual or persons for putting that sign out there? That's when I do my evaluation of, gee, do I want to, you know, do business with them, or do I, you know, I will accept them as neighbors and that and go. But as far as I have to then kind of like have one eye on them all the times, because if they think it's that law and order is a gray issue, I got a problem with that.
And I think you kind of hit on the head where you said, well, yes, Tommy and anybody else has that that's part of our system.
Yeah,
they have the right. They have the right to support whoever they want to. But I think you hit it on the head as well, right there, where we do have others have a right to be disappointed with our neighbors or with our former mm-hmm. governor or whatever it may be, because you would hope that they would see some of this these aspects
I respect their
right.
opinion. If they want to, that's their prerogative. But I'm just talking about myself thinking about them.
Speaking of signs that people have in their yards, like I go to church in Mosinee, and that's also where I do my cleaning job as well. And just driving around the houses in Mosinee, like, it's not every house, thankfully, but you see, like these Trump flags on their doors and all these signs, like, and One sign in particular, it's by the, it's in the front yard of a house that's by the McDonald's in Mosinee, and I drive past this sign quite often. Every time I see it, it just really churns my stomach. It's a sign that says, "I'm voting for the convicted felon." And it's like
they're proud of the fact. Yeah,
it's like
they're proud of it. It's okay. not only do they, yeah,
that's what I said.
You're right, Bob.
Okay, I mean, you like, put that sign out there. You've just told everybody, stay away.
And you're right, Bob. I mean, what does that say about that person in particular?
Well, real fast, something I sort of I've been thinking about this because we talk about democracy here a lot in civics and along that line with civic media. We are bombarded with commercials and with visits. I mean, we see the vice president, we see the former president, we see the running mates, we see surrogates all the time. And yet 40, 42, 44 of the states are almost ignored. That's not good for our system, is it?
The way the Electoral College is kind of, because of the dispersion of people and the trends that way, the basis for the Electoral College was to basically be a protective wall for the slave states in the Union back in the mid-1800s. That was all the Electoral College was there for. And it has just morphed into this kind of a false, again, you know, let's go back to 2016. Who got the most votes for president? No, not the one who ended up being president. Right. He was 3 million votes shy of that. Some people, you know, say, well, if they just go with the popular vote, it's going to make it tough for the smaller states. Well, there's a reason why you're a small state. You're not big and don't have that many people.
And I just do think that a lot of people are disconnected from, because we don't feel it here, because we are just,
We're getting,
I just think
that the rest of the country's going,
yeah, we
it's
are
be nice no, to see somebody.
Yeah, they're not talking to us at all. And I think there's something that is very wrong with that, where you're going to be spending all your time in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania.
I remember 1960, Dixon says, I'm going to visit every state in the campaign.
And they all say that was one of the reasons he lost.
Well,
because now you have to focus on these states and the way it is. But we're going to come back more with Bob Look. The time is 8:49
here on 90. Coming up?
Yes, we are. We're going to lighten it up a little bit coming up next here on 98.9 WXCO. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. One real fast question. Are you, do you miss not running at this point of a campaign?
No.
I knew you were going to say that.
No.
It was hard.
It is hard work. Again, as I don't have the best knees in the world. So it's not easy to get from point A to point B, but, you know, it was fun. It was a learning experience. Will I do it again? I'm not planning on it, but I didn't plan 2 years ago either. I was asked to, and I said, I'll be happy to help if I can.
And he did a great job. So you stop waving at the camera.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm a visual guy now.
Ian's taking some pictures of us. So, but let's talk some sports. And unfortunately, boy, that was what a heartbreaker last week for the Crew. I mean, they did a nice job coming back. And then,
2 outs away.
I know. And you have Williams out there. I mean, it was done. It felt like it was done. So often when I'm watching sports, maybe you have the same feeling when you're watching. Sometimes you feel you have that foreboding sense. Oh, something bad's going to happen. I was already thinking about Saturday in Philadelphia. It felt like they had it.
The one thing that I did question as I was watching, in fact, I even blurted it out at the place where I was doing it. And then after that, people were going, you're right, you're right. I said, the fact that they brought in Freddy Peralta to pitch in the eighth inning, to me, slated, okay. And then he mowed him down.
Yes, he did.
Three up and three down, boom, 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 boom. And I went, okay, well, because he's used to being a starter, give him that first shot at Lindor. See what he does. If Lindor hits a home run, you're still ahead by one.
Right.
Then you bring in your closer. Or if he walks or kind of loses his edge or whatever, you can always go that way. But say if Freddie, And Lindor grounds out the second. That's one out. All right. Put Freddie out to see what he... And he was on a roll. He was hitting the edges. He had good velocity and everything else. And then I know that this is the way they do it in a regular season, but when you're in the playoffs, it's a different animal. You see where some of these managers are putting their closers in like an inning earlier to get an out, and then by the time at the end of the final inning, they run out of gas.
Right.
So you got a starter. He's used to going multiple innings. Let him go another inning. And then if he's being zeroed in on, okay, now we go to the man who's supposed to be the closer. Mentality is right there.
Right.
That's just, I know that's easy to say it from hindsight, but as it happened, I've got a whole bunch of people.
Right, no, and I believe you 100% because you're right. I mean, the way Freddie came out there was, boom, I mean.
In fact, I can use an old thing from the Wisconsin Woodchucks. The Woodchucks back in 2001, we had a starting pitcher by the name of Tom Oldham. Really good pitcher, right? Really good pitcher. So it's the championship game, best 2 out of 3 against St. Cloud. And so it's the final inning, and he had no relief appearances, and he told basically the manager he went and warmed up himself. Hold him, right? And he says, oh, look at this done. Came out there in the 9th inning, 7 pitches, bing, bing, championship. Never had a relief appearance the whole season. The point being is that the manager listened to the player. The player who we knew was a good, but he pitched like a couple days earlier in a win. He says, I'll get you 3 outs. You just know it as a manager.
So now the Mets are obviously going to the World Series because every time the Brewers lose in the playoffs in recent years, that team ends up going to the World Series, right?
Until something happens.
What do you think about this yesterday, in the last few days, first, Bally and their Diamond Holdings, whatever they call it, said they were going to drop everybody but Atlanta in terms of covering Major League Baseball. Now baseball says they're taking over. What's your thoughts for Brewer fans?
I have been writing about this on the Brew Crew Review for a long time. In fact, I think my first time I wrote about it was in May.
You've been on it.
Of this. And I said back then, I says, the best possible outcome would be Major League Baseball taking over because they've done it already for a few of the teams. The only reason why I said that was that the chances of not being an economic drag on people who love to watch Brewer games on a regular basis, game in and game out, which there are a lot of them. And a lot of them are people older age, fixed incomes. This is kind of like their soap opera. Their sports soap opera from April right on into October. And if you're going to take that away from them and start charging them streaming fees, and you're already paying more for it on a cable system anyway, to find a company, first of all, that can do that, well, companies are kind of skittish about it because a lot of companies jumped in thinking there's money to be made. Yes, there is money to be made. However, it seems that they forgot to hire broadcast executives to do things like this, who can create a profit margin rather than just throwing it out there and expecting people to hand them advertising dollars. When you looked at in September when the Brewers are playing, and they're fighting to close out the season and everything, I was looking at the TV and the amount of open local ads spaces where PSAs are running, public service announcements or promos by Bally. Bally is good at running casinos, and that's what the Bally, and they're not broadcasters. If there's a if they take the MLB thing and concentrate on having broadcast executives and that to make it worth money, that it's going to also help the teams with their revenue, but also not tick off loyal fans.
It'd be nice if they did put a small package together over the year too. Like they used to be back when I was a kid. I remember not all the games were, but you had some of the games that would on a Friday night during the summer. They would have it on one of the local stations. They had a network throughout the state like they did for radio. Maybe they can do that again. Who knows?
Badger hockey Friday night, Saturday night in Madison.
Isn't it wonderful? It's almost hockey time again. I mean, I know you love it. I love it. So have fun.
27th year starting up.
Enjoy the Badgers Friday night, and thanks for coming in. Then we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Everyone have a wonderful day.
That's Bob Look. We got another hour to go. Anya Hannington from the Grand Theater. Trisha Zunker as well coming up in hour number two. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.